And I pray that you continue to pray for us to live out God's will in our lives and to have an impact in that area. Also pray for your hearts. We would like for more of you to move there. So I will say that every time I'm here, anytime I get to speak, I'll throw that out there. So if it's on your heart today, please come and talk to me. I just want to say today we're going to be going over several passages throughout the Bible on God's heart and desire for people. And we're going to walk through several passages in the Bible. Before we do that, let's pray. And then I have a little brief announcement to make as well. Holy Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. I pray that you help our hearts to be soft and humble today. That we will listen to your word, that we will not only hear it, but that we will put it into practice. Help us to live and be more like you. Help us to see the world as you see it. Help us to get rid of the apathy in our lives, the compromises we make. I pray that we will have a conviction about your word that overcomes emotion, that overcomes our feelings, that we can be dictated by your grace and mercy, and that we can fulfill your desire for us in this planet. We love you today, we're grateful, and we ask for your spirit to move in a powerful way in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to say, save the date, September 21st and 22nd this year. Oh, what? We're going to have a college prep weekend. I don't have the why up there. I'm going to give you the why right now. Too many times what we've seen throughout our church's fellowship, but also across the world, is many people lose faith in the transition between teens and college. We need to address this issue and change it, where people come in strong, vibrant, and ready to change the world for Christ. So we're going to be putting on a college prep weekend to help young men and women spiritually and academically to prepare for college. When this is September 21st and 22nd, from noon the 21st to 2 p.m. the 22nd. It's going to be at the Blowing Rock Conference Center. And then who's this for? For sophomores through seniors, the teens, and their parents. We're still determining the cost. We'll do that over the next couple of weeks to finalize everything. But I would strongly encourage you, this is for all of North Carolina and our fellowship of churches. I would strongly encourage you, if you have a sophomore through a senior, to please come and support this, because we want to not only address this but make this a victorious time for people in Christ. So that's my little plug for that weekend. Please, you'll be seeing a little flyer come out in the next few weeks, but please put that in your calendars right now. I know today we're going to be looking at God's desire for people in the world, and we'll see a deeper understanding of his mission. This understanding is vital to our discipleship, to our following of Christ, and striving to have his heart. And so we're going to look at several passages starting in the book of Genesis to help us have a deeper understanding, hopefully conviction, of what God desires for this world. So let's go ahead and start in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. And this is right after Abraham goes to sacrifice his son Isaac, and the angel stops him and says, no, you don't have to do that, but I appreciate your obedience to God. And this is what God has to say to him in verse 17. It says, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. God's call to Abraham to leave his country, leave his people, start anew. And through his obedience to God's plan, all nations will be blessed. That's God's desire, that the whole world be impacted through his people. But it kind of started with something that Abraham did. He first put faith in God and obeyed him. So I have to ask myself the question, is that something that I'm doing? Am I actually living the Word of God? We've been studying the book of Acts, where we're at, in Boone and Blowing Rock. And one of the things I see is these people lived it out. I mean, they trusted God. They put their faith and hope in God's message. They obeyed Him, no matter the cost, even with the cost of their own lives. And they impacted the world because of their conviction and faith and obedience to God. And I have to ask myself the question, is that same power available to us today? And am I willing to obey God today? Will all nations be blessed through me? Well, that depends on how we respond to God. You know, a little longer, further along in the scriptures in Exodus chapter 19, right before Moses gives the Ten Commandments, God has a plan for His people. And let's read along here, starting in verse 5. It says, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession, although the whole earth is mine. You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So what did God desire for the Israelites to know through Moses? He says, hey, I want you to know you're my treasured possession through all the peoples of the earth, but I want you to be a kingdom of priests to this world. What does a priest do? Well, connects people to God. And so his vision for his people, even from Abraham to Moses, was all nations. I want you to be a blessing to this world. You start seeing a glimpse of God's heart. Let's fast forward. Now that we've seen Abraham and Moses, let's see what one of the prophets have to say about this in Isaiah chapter 2. And bear with me, I know we're bouncing around to several passages and we'll do a few more. But hopefully we're getting a deeper understanding of God's plan throughout Scripture here. In Isaiah chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it." God desires His kingdom to impact the world. Not for the world to impact the kingdom. And my fear is the world is impacting us more than we are impacting it. Are you an influencer? Are you being influenced? Think about that for a second. Is God so moving in your heart and your life that what Mike said earlier, when you come into a room, it changes. You impact people. Or is the temptation just to blend in? To allow culture and the values and principles of this world to influence you more than God? It's a question we all need to ask ourselves and consider. I want to be an influencer for God. I desire that. I think if you're here today, you desire that too. And so we see this passage and the initiation, you know, God's desire for His kingdom, His rule, His reign to spread throughout this world. And we get to participate in that. We get to be His ambassadors and spread the good news of His love through this world. And so we shouldn't be surprised in the next passage in Matthew 28 when Jesus, at the end of the ministry He has on earth, that He gives us the same charge, that He helps us to understand the continuation of God's desire here. And we've read this, if you've studied the Bible in this congregation at all, you should have this passage memorized. in Matthew 28, 19 says, therefore go and make disciples of who? All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to what? Obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. We've read that passage. So what do we do with that? Do we just keep talking about it? Ad nauseum? No, hopefully we actually try to live this. That's our desire, is that we want to be disciples and we want to make disciples and then help people to obey. And that's a lifelong process. I've been a Christian now for this fall will be 25 years. I know, I don't look that old. I know. I'm joking, I know. But thinking about that, it's a lifetime of learning. I turn 45 next week and I think, man, I have so much to learn about God. I have so much to learn about the Holy Spirit and how it moves and how it works. I have so much to learn about the mission and loving people unconditionally and having people in my homes and serving individuals. And I pray I can always strive to have a learner's heart as I'm striving to be a disciple. I think that's ultimately what a disciple is a continuation of learning like to be like Jesus all throughout your life. And that's kind of what we want with this whole college prep weekend, is to help that transition, because we all go through transitions, whether teen to college or college to singles or singles to marrieds or empty net, wherever we're at, we're in a learning process. And I pray that God can put on our hearts his desire and that we can see it and go, man, I'm supposed to impact this world. You know, right after this, in Acts, the disciples were sitting around in Jerusalem like, hey, what's going to happen? You know, Jesus rose. He keeps talking about this kingdom of God here. And in Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Again, the whole world is God's plan. And so what did the disciples do with this? Well, we see incredible power happen in the book of Acts. Thousands of people become Christians. And you know what they do? They stay there. They just stay there. They don't quite see it. We would have done the same thing. We think, you know, we look at the Bible a lot of times and we'll read it and go, if I was there, I'd have done exactly what Jesus said. And the reality is we would have been just like these knuckleheads in the Bible, if not worse. And so they sit around. It wasn't until the persecution broke out that they actually fulfilled the scripture. Think about that for a second. And the world gets radically impacted because people had a conviction and a desire like God's. So church, I ask us, do we have a desire for others to know him? Is that reflected in our Christianity? Is there evidence for that in our life? If people look outside and go, let me examine your life for a week. I'm just throwing out an arbitrary number. It doesn't matter if it's a week or a day or what. Would they go, oh, that is a disciple of Jesus? Or would they go, huh, I don't know what that guy, that person believes. You know, they go to church on Sunday. They kind of get excited about that. And then Monday through Saturday, I see no difference in their life as in this person who doesn't profess they believe in me. You know, that was my biggest objection to Christianity when I was in high school, was my life was no different than my buddies' lives that profess Christianity. And I'm like, this isn't real. It wasn't until I saw people living this out that I'm like, wait a second. You mean people actually follow Jesus? That my life was radically impacted and changed. But it took people that haven't had evidence of Christianity and God's grace in their life, that they responded to God's word and didn't just talk about, oh man, it would be great to do this one day. They were doing it. And it scared me a little bit. They're like, do you want to study the Bible? I'm like, no. I don't want to do that. But when I saw their life, I'm like, there's something to that. They are different. They love each other. I mean, just look at this room. You know, this world, this country is so filled with racial tension and political tension. Look in this room. This is a beautiful thing. What we have, the world needs. Do I believe that? Let me have a conviction about that. Let me look at these passages and go, no, God has, he has brought me here for a reason. And it's not just to sit idly by while the world continues to crumble. We have, and I know this may sound arrogant, but we have God's solution. Isn't that amazing? We have the fix. But many times I look at other people's lives and I get duped by the world. Like, oh, they look like they have it pretty good. I think about, what if someone did that with me? I professed Christianity when I was 20. When I said I didn't want to study the Bible, I wouldn't have told those guys that because I would have looked bad. But I was just going through motions. I wasn't even striving to be like Christian, a disciple. I didn't know what a disciple was. I didn't know what it meant to follow Jesus. If people just looked at my outside from the outside perspective, that guy looks like he's a pretty nice guy. He's friendly. He smiles a lot. You know, I think he's good. If they would have done that with me, my life would be an utter disaster. But people cared enough to ask me the real questions and to sit down and open the scriptures with me, and it radically transformed my life. You have that. We have the Bible, and we can change people's lives. Well, we, you know, God's word and the Holy Spirit came, but we're the influencers, right? We're the people that have the answer because of God. Not because of our great lives. Not because we have it all figured out. We're all still a mess. But now we have the hope because of Jesus. Let's look at one other passage. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. Right after God, Paul tells the Timothy that you need to pray for your leaders. He goes into this passage and he tells them they need to live a good godly life. But he tells them to pray for their leaders. You know, that's one thing I'm always convicted about. We can complain about our country's leadership. Doesn't matter what flavor of politics you have. It's broken. It's not the solution. And what are we called to do? Complain about it on Facebook? Ran about it on our whatever page? I'm going to tweet because that really made me mad. I'm going to share an Instagram post of how angry I am. Look, you know. No, it's to pray for our leaders. Why? Because they're messed up too? Don't put your hope in that. Please. That's not the answer. It never will be the answer. And if we buy into the world's thinking, then we're stuck. So, in 1 Timothy 2, starting in verse 3, it says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. There's one solution, Paul's saying, and he wants everyone to come to this knowledge of the truth. And we are gifted with that calling. I think there can be confusion. You know, there's a false teaching out there that we don't have a choice of whether or not we respond to God's grace. And it's all up to God. Well, don't we see God's desire for all people to know Him here? Don't we think He has the power to change all of our minds if He wanted to? But He gives us the choice. And so we have the opportunity to influence people, to help them know Christ. You know, throughout the New Testament, the topic Jesus speaks about most is the kingdom of God. That is the rule and reign of God in this world and this universe. It's supposed to be a priority to put God's thinking into practice, to have the same line of thought. If we claim to follow Him, then we should have in mind the same purposes that He does. So what do I do with this? We've just looked at a whole bunch of scriptures. What do I do with this? Do I go home, man, I'm really convicted? Well, hopefully God sparks in your heart something to do with His word. But it's God's heart for people to know Him. And my goal is to be like Him, then what should my heart reflect for people to know Him? Where am I at with these passages? I want you to ask yourself the question, do I really believe that God wants all people to know Him? Do I really have a conviction about this? And is this conviction, am I living this conviction out? Jesus says, we'll build a solid house when we put His words into practice. Not just hearing His words, but actually doing them. Do we have a form of godliness in our life, but deny His power? You know, in the book of Revelation, Jesus challenges one of the churches and says, listen, you've forsaken your first love. Now I'm about to take that lampstand away. Now he's referring to an entire church. What would he have to say about us? Is our light flickering? Is he about to remove our lampstand? I don't say these words to like, oh my goodness, it's gloom and doom. I just say these words for us to think. What am I doing? Is my heart still in this? Am I really willing to lay down my life for God? Am I really willing to deny myself for His purposes? Or have I become complacent and lukewarm? Have we forgotten our first love? Now is the time for reflection. Now is the time for action. Hopefully we will respond to God's word, that we will see His heart and desire to change. You know, our lives are constantly bearing fruit of some sort. Let's not be bearers of bad fruit. Let us be men and women that reflect the Holy Spirit, God's purpose in our lives. Let's be the people that would be convicted of Christianity if we are under trial. Let's make disciples. Let's look at people as God does. And let's have an impact. I pray today that you will go home and you'll reflect about that in your life. That you'll look at your coworkers, your friends, your family and go, God, am I viewing people the way I need to be? Am I viewing you the way I need to be? Help my heart to change. My prayer is that we will take time and pray. But I pray that God will put His word in our hearts, and not only that, that we'll live this out, that we'll respond. May God ignite our hearts and to help us dream big for Him. Let us have an impact in Charlotte, in Boone, wherever we're at, wherever God has put us, let us have an impact and dream for Him. But I pray that it starts with our conviction about God's Word. Brothers and sisters, we can change the world through God's grace. Let us believe that, and let us live that, and let us see a difference in our lives. I pray that we can walk out here today convicted but victorious in our hearts, that knowing God can use us. Let's change the world. Let's make a difference. Let's dream. May God strengthen us all. Amen. Thank you.